A little earlier this week, I was down on the Ridgeway, just southwest of Dorchester, admiring a lovely stretch of dry stone wall that is being completely restored. Well, it's a beautiful day here, close to Martinstown, in the middle of the fields, and there is a gang of people here learning how to, well, actually practising dry stone walling. And with me is Sally Fielding, who's from the Dorset branch of the Dry Stone Walling Association. You are the expert, is that it, Sally?
Well, I am. I've actually taken my instructor's exam, so I'm qualified to teach them how to do this dry stone walling. I started walling, quite a long while ago now. Then we moved into a house that had a wall between us and the neighbour that needed to be rebuilt. So I went off and did what we call certification to prove that I could actually do it. And then I did another exam in it later on, and then I've become an instructor, so I am qualified.
One doesn't necessarily think of this as being a woman's job, because traditionally this would have been done by farm labourers, presumably, back in the past and over the centuries, and they would have been men.
Indeed. Although I think sometimes some of the women may have helped, because a lot of the walls originally were because they were trying to clear the stone off the fields. Not so much to put the animals in, but just to clear the fields, and they would have been out perhaps picking stone, if not actually putting it on the wall. But nowadays there are some lady dry stone wallers. Up in Derbyshire there's one who's actually got her master craftsman certificate, and she does very high standard work. And there's another young lady I know who's not all that old, and she's already done her initial, her intermediate and her advanced certificates, so she's heading the same way.
So in the past, from what you were saying then, a dry stone wall was sort of dual purpose. It got rid of the stones, or it did something with the stones picked up from the field, but it also provided a really good stock-proof barrier.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, they think that a dry stone wall over the years, over a period, say, of 100 years, would actually be cheaper than putting in barbed wire and fencing. But, of course, farmers don't quite see it that way.
And not that the farmer who did it would live to see the long-term benefit, of course.
It lasted
several centuries.
No, because he wouldn't.
Now, Sally, this one that we're standing next to, it's obvious that it needs... There's a fence on the other side of it, but it's obvious that the wall needs serious attention because it's... it's pretty ruined, this bit down here, isn't it?
Yes, the trouble is, over the years, I think the field below it has been ploughed and a lot of the soil has gradually moved down the field and down the hill. And so the foundations haven't been able to keep up with that movement. A wall will move to a certain extent, but eventually it will collapse if the ground gets moved underneath it. There's also been badgers going through it, digging underneath it. In places, the ivy's got into it and that spreads in, pushes it about. Tree roots, anything like that. And of course the water and rain sometimes splits the stone when it gets frosted. So there's a lot of pressures on a dry stone wall, and it hasn't been maintained. In the old days somebody would have come along every summer and filled in the gaps, but this hasn't happened here for donkey's years, and so it now needs a complete renewal.
Well, of course, it's a question of cost, isn't it? I mean, in the past, there were plenty of farm labourers. Many more people lived and worked on the land than they do now. And, a wire fencing is a whole lot cheaper than maintaining a dry stone wall, isn't it?
Yes, I think it is. It's down to cost and time, of course.
Now, if we go down here, let's go down towards where the people that you... Have you been instructing all of these volunteers?
Well, yes, I come out with them. It's just a voluntary group of conservation volunteers, and I've been coming out with them for probably about 20-odd years. But on this one, I have tried to sort of give them a bit of coaching and a bit of instruction in how to do it.
And how old would this wall be?
Well, originally, a wall would last about 100 years.
Oh, not longer than that?
Well, probably longer than that if it's maintained. But you would expect it to last 100 years even without any maintenance, and then gradually it would start to decay. But if it's the odd bit that's fallen down is rebuilt, then it keeps going for years and years.
Right, so let's go to a piece where they're actually building it up. There's a lot of sort of loose stone down on this side. You have to start by demolishing the wall, right?
That's right. Basically... You take the wall down, you stack the stone neatly in piles like they're doing there so that you can see what you've got, and you sort it out so that you've got your big foundation stones nearest to the wall, ready to go into the foundations, and the smaller building stone further apart. And at this stage as well, it's useful if you can sort out the stuff that's going on the very top, which is called coping stone.
Are those the nicest bits of stone that go on the top?
They're just a particular shape. They go across the wall at the top, finish it off, and they pin it together. They pin the two sides, because you build a wall by building two sides and filling in with what we call hearting, which are the smaller stones that go in the middle.
Okay, let's go up to the bit. So here we've got two of the volunteers who are actually doing the sorting of the stone from the demolished bit of wall. And here is a piece of wall that is, if we go up to it, under construction.
That's right.
And so the process is select the bits of stone with a level outside edge, is that it?
Well, yes, you start off at the foundation level. You dig a bit that's only about 4 inches deep, just enough to stop the stone spreading. You use all your big ugly stones right down at that level, but you do try and keep the tops fairly flat so that you can put the next layer on top of it. And you gradually build the wall up using slightly narrower stones as you go up the wall. And you always place the stones in a certain way. You put the length of the stone into the wall because that makes it strong and secure. And like when you do a brick wall, you have to cover the gaps so that you end up bridging across the gaps. And as you go, you fill it in and secure it all with what we call the hearting, the small stones in the middle.
The heartings?
Hearting, yes.
Where does that word come from, do you know?
I don't know, really. I suppose it forms the heart of the wall.
Oh, is it spelt like that?
Yes.
H-E-A-R-T-I-N-G.
Yes, yes. And although it's just the little stones that you put in the middle, it is quite important that you put them in and wedge your outer stones securely with it.
And I should think that any lizards or any insects or spiders would be, and possibly even birds, would be very happy to have those little gaps in the middle,
indeed,
to go and live in.
I was walling the other day and we picked a stone up and there were three little toads underneath it. So I had to move them down the wall and they found a little gap and shot into that out of the wind and rain straight away.
Have you found anything else in the years that you've been doing this?
The odd lizard, yes. And there was a stoat sitting up here one day when I was working. So, yes, they are very good for wildlife, the smaller stuff.
So, and how long have you been doing this for?
Seriously, probably about 12 years. I'd done a little bit before that. But as I say, the stimulus was when we moved into this particular house. That really got me going.
So you decided, having done that in your own property, that you wanted to expand, did you, and go elsewhere?
Yes,
and do it?
I was already working with the South West, as it was then, branch of the Dry Stone Walling Association. There was a little group of us down in Dorset, and they decided that we could go independent. So we're now the Dorset branch, and we've gone from strength to strength. There's not very many of us, but we've won the small branch of the year for 3 years running, so we're very pleased with ourselves.
Excellent. Now this wall is what in length in total? It must be about 300 metres, would you say?
I think the total is something like 280, 300 metres, yes.
And how many hours of work to rebuild that?
I dread to think. We've already been working on it for 4 years.
But that's not 4 years solid, is it?
No. The group come out about 12 or 13 times a year. I personally come up here probably an extra 1 or 2 days in between times. I probably come up an extra, probably about 50 days in a year.
And see how your baby's getting on.
That's right, yes.
And this is the kind of work that anybody can do, any age, any ability?
Yes, I mean, some people do seem to have the knack more than others, but it's physical work, and it's actually quite a mental challenge as well. But if you like being outside and don't mind doing something physical, it's wonderful.
And do you have to wear a pair of stout boots with good toes to them just in case you drop stones?
Yes, yes, we would advise anyone to wear steel toe cap boots and of course gloves as well, because the stone gets quite rough on your hands. When you're demolishing the wall, it's as well to wear goggles as well, because there's dust and things flying around.
A good workout, in fact, then.
Oh, indeed. I'd far rather do this than go to the gym.
Well, Sally, thank you very much. I'm going to go, I think, and have a chat now with one of your volunteers and find out how